Well, sometimes when we hear a reading mentioned, the one we may not want to hear is Psalm 119, because it's that very, very long psalm, and we wonder how on earth anybody could treat that as a single song or memorize one particular lengthy song and poem as that. But we're looking at a particular few verses, which is actually set for the Church of England for today. And they're very concise and very specific. Attention is drawn to the way God's Word has a place in His world, in our lives, and when ignored, the consequences. But isn't it good when something gets explained to us? You know, we're something mystifies us, and it leaves us rather frustrated. If you get a new phone, and you haven't quite worked out how to do some of the things you used to do on your old phone, and when somebody comes along who recognises the way it works, and they tell you just what you need to press, or what you need to type in somewhere first, it gets you going. And it lifts you so much, doesn't it, when something like that happens? Or if you, like me, you've got a computer, which occasionally over the years have been one or two occasions when it's stopped working the way you wanted it to, or something's actually changed the way it's working. And it's really annoying when you can't get onto those emails. We feel completely lost now if we can't contact the people the way we used to. And then when we solve it, there's a great relief. There's a great feeling of release as well. We can get back and everything's okay as it should be. And it almost brings kind of joy to the heart to know that it's been sorted. Or maybe we've had some advice from somebody on something that's going on for us that maybe we've not come across before and they have. Maybe it's a situation or some circumstances. Maybe it's something official you've got to deal with and you haven't had to do it before. Somebody else who's been there before, they help you along with some words of wisdom, literally, on how to go about it. And that solves the question in our minds, and we're completely released then. We feel so much lighter about it. Or maybe you've read a book and it's opened up a new kind of sense of things that you hadn't been able to make sense of before, or a whole area that you hadn't really had an insight into falls into place. It's really freeing, isn't it, when we actually overcome some of those obstacles through having something explained. Well, the psalmist here begins our section in verse 129 with the words, "Your statutes are wonderful." And it is something amazing that we have the scriptures that we have. I've often started to think, is there anything in these pages of our Bible which is not useful? Is there any waste of space in scripture? I can't think of any. There's a bit of doubling up where the same thing is recorded more than once, in the Gospels or in the Chronicles and Kings. But sometimes for a different reason, in a different way, they add a little difference to the shedding of light on the underlying things that are going on, maybe. But there's hardly anything I can think of that is superfluous in God's scriptures. Everything in there is there for a reason. I can't think of many books where that could be said. Maybe the dictionary is one exception. Where even the explanations of how to pronounce words at the beginning that we can't ever make head nor tail of are there for a purpose. But scripture is so full, and not only is it so complete, it is wonderful. It says everything we need to know, it says it in a way we can use it and understand it, and it provides all kinds of examples of what we should or shouldn't be living like. So the psalmist finishes that phrase, "Your statutes are wonderful," by saying, "Therefore I obey them." Now it would be foolish, wouldn't it, to get good advice and not to take it. It would be silly to find some explanation of something we didn't really know before and then not live by it. And scripture is something where we have the epitome, the ultimate version of that. "Therefore I obey them." We're in a world where there is debate over how to obey the scripture, how to change the emphasis of certain things, how our moral world is shifting, and some are attempting to find parts of scripture we never looked for before in order to justify changes to what we have traditionally and many still see as God's original plan. Verse 130, the second verse of our reading. The unfolding of your words give light, gives understanding to the simple. Do you ever think that things can be too complicated for me? They're beyond my kind of thinking. They're for church leaders. They're for preachers, or they're for group leaders, or they're for people who've been to college. But scripture strikes home to the most straightforward thinker, the simplest of minds, we might say, without being derogatory about ourselves. The simpler we are, the easier it is to accept what God is saying sometimes, because we don't reason it out too far. We don't overthink it. And sometimes we have to take scripture as it comes. It gives light and understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Once we start to get to know some of the wonders of scripture, we want to find more. We start to need to be finding more and more truths and wonderful promises and insights that the Spirit gives us through God's word. I wonder if we sometimes we lose that. Do we lose that drive to be finding new things? Sometimes we need to pray to reawaken our yearning and our interest in something. And I found that whenever I've had to do that, within a short while, something comes up where I suddenly find I'm intrigued, I want to go and find out about something, or I want to go and sort out a particular part of the Bible somehow. And God actually puts that yearning back into us if we ask him. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. The reason for being driven to look into the scriptures and to pursue what it says, to hunt out what it's talking about and has for us, is because we already love and know God. That is our insight. We don't read the scriptures because God tells us to and we feel obliged. It's almost certain that that won't be a very efficacious way of going about it. Where's our love for God in this? That's what should be underpinning and driving our search of his word. When you love somebody, you hang on every word they say. When you know somebody well and you admire them, or you look up to them, then you take on board the things that they teach or that they give you an example of or that they're like. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Not just about doing good and getting things right and behaving the way God wants us to, but it keeps us safe from being drawn into unwise behaviour, unhealthy activities, so that no sin rule over me, that we're not driven by something which is ungodly, but godly. Verse 134, redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. It's fascinating the kind of things that can take us away from relying on God's word. We can be, in the words here, oppressed by something or someone. There can be things going on in our lives which weigh us down, or distract us, or tempt us away. There can be things and situations which actually overtake our thoughts, and our priorities then get undermined. Redeem me, in other words, save me from human oppression. So nothing in the world, Lord, stop me from obeying your teachings, your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Have you ever felt God's face shining on you? It's something which we sort of say, and we probably never really thought through what that might be. Actually being in the glow that God produces when he's at work in us. When he smiles at us, when your face shines, it smiles, doesn't it? And he smiles on us. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. But then it goes full circle. The last of our verses, verse 136. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Does it bother us that so many are not following the teachings of God, that don't know scriptures or have rejected them? Does it upset us that there are those around who have rejected God's teaching and scripture? We're in a dark world. Sin does rule. The sin of others. The sin of those who are ungodly. Those who don't obey the precepts and the teachings and the statutes as it's described, scriptures bring us. And that's the kind of world we're in. How much more do we need to rely on God's word? How much more do we need to seek out what he really wants and to determine to stick with it and to resist what's going on around us sometimes? We seek the light in order to see how to be obedient to God's will. It was described in our second verse, the unfolding of your words give light. We're in a dark world, but light. And we're thinking a lot about light and dark on a day when we've just changed the clocks. And we'll all be saying to ourselves, the nights have drawn in quickly. And for some reason, those light mornings aren't a great help. They don't seem to help us get up any easier. They didn't me this morning, I know. And the light and the dark, there's going to be a lot of comment about the Hindu festival of Diwali over the next few days. Celebrating light. But whose light needs to be celebrated? God's light. And where does God's light come from? Through the illumination of his word. Scriptures bring real light. That's the truth. The way, the truth, and the life that Jesus talks about is embodied in his word. Obedience needs light and produces joy. Joy is something which comes out of knowing the truth and understanding and feeling released by experiencing truth. Disobedience, on the other hand, to God's light in particular, ends in tears. Not only the tears of those who will discover what it's like to have rejected God, but maybe our tears. And there should be tears amongst us when we see others who are missing out and rejecting God's ordinances. Wonder how many of our tears have been due to the disobedience of ourselves, but also how many tears have we shed because of others' disobedience. Sometimes others' disobedience create problems for us. They create relationship problems. They create upset. But also our tears may be because we're simply sad that so many are not taking up the light of God. Or maybe our tears are because of the lack of light in our own lives. Have we been lacking in seeking out God's truth and God's light? Can we really say in our first verse, verse 129, your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them? May that be something which we continue to pray the Lord's blessing and guidance on, and a filling of his spirit to open up those words that he has in his scripture for us. Amen.